The final knowledge on the night of the Buddha's awakening, or the third knowledge that led to his awakening. Before he gained knowledge of nibbana, he called knowledge the ending of the effluence. Effluence, asava, things that flow out of the mind. It can also be translated as fermentations, things that bubble up in the mind and keep it coming back to samsara, engaging in the process of wandering on, wandering on. It was ending those effluents that freed the Buddha. He identified three: the effluent of sensuality, the effluent of becoming, and the effluent of ignorance. Now these are big issues. And thinking about the knowledge that led him to his final awakening while we're sitting here meditating, struggling with our own minds, may seem far away. But there's a sutta where he talks about abandoning effluence in seven ways. And they're practices that relate very much to what we're doing right here, right now, in our practice as we meditate, in our practice as we go about our daily lives. So even though we may not be ending our wandering on anytime soon, we can work in the direction of bringing an end to that wandering on. So it's good to know the seven ways that the Buddha outlined. One of them has to do with putting an end to the effluents that are related to becoming and ignorance. He calls it abandoning by seeing. In this case, it means seeing appropriate attention or using appropriate attention. As you look at different questions that come up in the mind, realizing that some questions are not worthy of attention, so you shouldn't bother yourself with them, and focus instead on the ones that do reward your attention. The ones that don't reward your attention have to do with your identity in the past or the future or the present. What was I in the past? What will I be in the future? Was I in the past? Will I be in the future? Do I exist right now? Do I not exist right now? What am I? Who am I? The Buddha says if you get entangled in these questions, you end up in what he calls a jungle, a thicket, or writhing of views. Either that you have a self or you have no self, or various ways of knowing yourself, either through the self itself or through its impact on the world outside. That may seem strange, because after all, some of these questions are the questions that led to his first true knowledges. Knowledge of his previous lifetimes, knowledge of how beings die and are reborn in line with their actions. But it's probably his realization after getting that second knowledge that if he continued thinking in those terms, he was not going to be freed. After all, other people had had those two knowledges before him, and they'd gotten tied up in precisely the questions that he said are the ones that should be put aside. If they saw that your identity changed, and it was or was not, according to them, related to your actions, they got fixated on the question of, well, what is it that stays the same throughout all those different lives? Or does anything stay the same throughout all those different lives? And pulled attention away from the big issue, which was actions. What are you doing? You realize that if you put those questions of identity aside and focused on what you're doing, led to the question of what actions lead to suffering, what actions lead to the end of suffering. That puts you in the context of the Four Noble Truths. And those questions, he said, are worthy of attention. They avoid the problems of saying that you have a self, because once you have a self, then you start getting protective of it. If you say that you have no self, which the Buddha said is also a writhing of views, Then the question comes, well, why bother? Why bother being skillful if there's nobody here? So it's best to leave those questions unanswered and focus on seeing the issue of the skillfulness of your actions as really being important, because this will make the difference. This is what can free you. And when you find freedom, then there's no need to ask who you are or who's being freed. That's just the freedom. This is why, as we practice, when we meditate, we are focused on the process of fabrication. The breath coming in and going out, the way we talk to ourselves, the images we hold in mind. Because these are things we're doing. In our practice leading up to meditation, we don't spend all that much time talking about Buddhist philosophy, or philosophy of the world, or your place in the world. In the Four Noble Truths, they don't talk about those issues at all. And the way the Buddha would prepare you is through a life of generosity, a life of virtue. As for your reflections on your generosity and virtue, you ask yourself, what kind of actions lead to long-term well-being? And how do you relate to long-term well-being? Because after all, ordinary actions that are counted as skillful can lead to good results, but the results may change, will change. How do you relate to those? You put in the extra effort to do well, but you have to realize that simply doing well is not enough. You've got to do better. You have to look into your intentions. You have to look into the state of the mind. This is why the Buddha, when he talked about the customs and the noble ones, would talk about how, in terms of your relationship to your requisites of daily life, food, clothing, shelter, you learn to be content with what you've got. And you learn how not to exalt yourself over your contentment. In other words, saying you're better than other people because you get along with just a little. In other words, you see the danger in how you relate even to the rewards of skillful actions. It's in seeing the danger that you get more and more focused on the Four Noble Truths. The focus always is on how you are thinking, how you are talking to yourself, how are you relating to the world around you, what's going on in your mind. There's a passage in one of the commentaries that says that you can take that sutta and the four customs of the noble ones, and you can get the entire Dhamma and Vinaya out of that. The Vinaya comes out of the first three, your relationship to food, clothing, and shelter. And the entire Dhamma comes out of the last one, which is to learn how to delight in developing and delight in abandoning. Delight in developing skillful qualities, delight in abandoning unskillful qualities, and tracking down more and more the subtleties of what may seem to be skillful to begin with, but may have some lack of skill hiding inside. Now, when you're focused on these issues, issues of becoming, in other words, your identity in the world, and ignorance, ignorance of the Four Noble Truths, those get weakened, because you are applying the questions of the Four Noble Truths. Where is the suffering? What is the suffering? How do I relate to that? What's causing the suffering? How to relate to that? What actions can lead to the end of suffering, and how to relate to those? That line of thinking, even though it's not knowledge yet, at least it's conviction in line with right view. Let's say you work away at your ignorance. And by not being concerned about, well, who am I, what am I, where am I going, that's how you chip away at thoughts of becoming. So even though you may not be able to chip all the way through, at least you're headed in the right direction as you're focused on this question of, what am I doing right now? Is it skillful or unskillful? What can I do to make it more skillful? That quality that the Buddha said was lying at the heart of his awakening, which was not resting content with skillful qualities. If you see there's room for improvement, you're happy to improve, happy to try to figure out what it is. If you haven't figured it out yet, well, keep your eye out in that direction. This is how your practice gets closer and closer to that final knowledge. This is just one of the seven ways of working against the affluence. But it's probably the most important. This is why the Buddha put it first in the list. Because it covers all the others. Because once you're focused on the Four Noble Truths, then you're going to be focused on the duties. And in carrying out the duties, all the other ways of dealing with the affluence get covered as well.